Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. I'm so glad to be back. This is Chef Eduardo, and I feel like I've been on the moon for a couple of months. No, not really. But first live show again in a couple of weeks, and slowly but surely getting back into the regular live shows. And thank you for supporting Foodomania and listening to the links and at good old Blog Talk Radio, my archive there. 135 shows up there now. It's amazing. And my how it's changed. So we'll be celebrating 10 years of this radio. I guess in these days, it's, you know, when we first started the show, I don't know if they used the word podcast very much. You know, podcasts are just, I am so excited about. I mean, you know, you can never run out of amazing podcasts right now. And so many people are just so talented. They're just creating all these different subjects and everything, and I'm inspired. And, you know, I'm fortunate to have been doing this type of broadcasting for a long time, and I just never gets old. Never gets old, like certain things, for instance, certain foods, cooking, playing music, people you love. Never gets old. Sit across the table from any of my children and just watch them eat. You know, it's like watching the incredible, inspiring things that happen in our day-to-day routines. And one of the things I think that is common with everyone right now, of course, is eating. So the last couple of days I've been working on some pictures and just kind of recapping some of the things that we've cooked and I've done over the last couple of months mostly. Just went back a short period of time because during the close down or lockdown or just, you know, more of the isolation, you know, I haven't stopped cooking. If anything, I think when I was in the restaurant for 40 or 50 or 60 hours a week, I always cooked, but it never stopped. I love it. But to have the great amount of time to do some really cool dishes and experiment with some stuff, and of course, make some shows, which, you know, we have been filming. I think we're 7 or 8 shows under the belt, so pretty soon a lot of things are going to happen on the 10th anniversary, which will be in February. And during that time, we'll introduce some of the videos. Either some of them are available now, and you can just get on the link, Chef Soros Foodomania page on Facebook, or go to the blogtalkradio.com, put in just Foodomania or Chef Eduardo, and it'll take you to all that stuff, and you'll see some clips. All right, so last couple of days, I've just been going through some of these pictures, and I just locked in the Brooklyn. I locked to knishes, those beautiful potato things, which I've just started making a few again, and a good friend of mine who is has opened up a little teeny Turkish coffee place, a beautiful coffee. I've given him a few so he could pass them out to different people and just celebrate his taste. But, you know, it just brought back the original New York-style Brooklyn Street knish cart. And, again, if you get up on the Foodomania Facebook page, you will see some pictures of the old-time carts, the original food truck. But the food cart was about a little bit bigger than a shopping cart, actually. And in the old days, the family members would make different items, and they'd load them up into these carts, and, you know, how it stayed warm, I can't remember. I think, actually, they might have had a little bit of coal in the bottom of it. And they walked the it's a gentleman or a gentlewoman's business to have that cart and manage it up and down the street. They usually make maybe a couple of hundred finishes, and the guy or girl would be out there from, I would say, 10:30 in the morning till maybe 4 or 5, just soon as the end of the day happens, until the sun goes down. And if you were fortunate enough to get a hot, steaming knish, one of these carts, you know what I'm talking about. You know, that memory never leaves you. You can think about it. Just think about it for 1 second, it'll be right back there. So I've been trying to imitate that as long as I've lived on the West Coast, which is a long time. And I've made them for different places, different restaurants and places that I've worked or had. And it's always been a successful thing. So with that, I got made some of those. And so when you think about these things, you have to take action. So I couldn't just look at the pictures and the memories. I had to make some, and they came out, and they're just delicious. Same thing goes with just some certain kinds of rolls and breads. I've just been thinking about doing some research on some different versions of what we know as a French roll, or you know, on the West Coast, or even in the middle, an Italian roll, a hoagie roll, a sandwich roll, a grinder bun. You know, when you go to a standard place where you get what's called a submarine, a grinder, a hoagie, a torpedo, they're all, you know, shaped like sort of the same. And basically they are a big, beautiful roll filled with different sorts of combinations of things. Think Subway, think, the other place that's doing the Subway sandwiches too now. But they all have one thing in common. It's a combination of ingredients in the center and bread on the outside. Okay, all well and good. I've got all kinds all over here, there, everywhere. But there's something in New York, and they refer to it in New York, mostly derived in New York City. Brooklyn sort of, some of it had a certain kind of term, maybe more like a muffaletta or had a pond, you know, just a big hunk of bread where they give you a big roll, you slice it open, olive oil, a little fresh oregano, and then lay in your burrito or your cheeses or your hams, a little bit more oil, of course, mostly pickled peppers, some red peppers, you know, a little bit in the sandwich is always good. This is your cold sandwich, wrapped up in a big piece of wax paper, and that was it. And you know, like everything in the old days, I used to be able to ride the bus for 5 cents. Well, you know, in those days, in the 50s and the 60s, about 65 cents to 75 cents for, a ham and cheese, sort of what they call a hero, wrapped in a nice piece of wax paper. I would say easily a foot long. I would go more for 13 to 14 inches, actually. And that was something where you could have your lunch, and then if you were smart, you'd hang on to part of it at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. A hunk of beautiful roll there, big bread, and then you'll have, a meatball, which everybody knows a meatball. This will be the same thing. Still looking about between 13 and 14 inch long, delicious bread. And then these things would have something in common. They both would have, a red sauce base, basically. So if you did the meatball hero, you'd have, probably meatballs the size of golf balls, maybe a little bigger, but a little softer, the perfect melt-in-your-mouth meatball, and then the sauce. In some cases, some fresh grated Parmesan cheese and maybe a little mozzarella, and that's your delicious meatball hero sandwich. If you got something other than the first thing that comes to mind is always like a chicken parm hero. Chicken breast, beautifully pounded, dipped in flour, dipped in egg, and nice breadcrumbs. These days, you use a panko to get that extra crunchy. But in those days, it was basically using all the leftover breads, and they ground them up, and that's what they used. They always recycled, the bread weekly or something like that. Definitely in a good place, so it dried out, and then cranked it into breadcrumbs and reused it for their chicken parm, like we just said, or the veal Parmesan sandwich, or the eggplant Parmesan, or the shrimp Parmesan, fried shrimp Parmesan. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to talk about how to pretty much lay each one of those out. Same bread, a different kind of protein, different kind of middle, if you're going for the red sauce versions of these sandwiches, we're actually all four of the ones that we're talking tonight are absolutely using a beautiful fresh red sauce that we'll talk about making. It's very simple, and that's basically the basis. As far as your cheese, it's optional in some of the sandwiches. Has to be fresh mozzarella. Fresh mozzarella for sure. Get it just, thinking in terms of that milky creaminess laid just in the right sandwich. Now, people say, toasting. What's the toasting all about? Well, when you have the right bread, when you actually have the right bread and you store it and you get it ready to make that sandwich between the time it's in that storage, time frame till the time it gets right onto your table and ready to cut open and fill it with these delicious goodies we're going to be talking about in a little bit. At that point in time, it doesn't have to be toasted if you time it out right. Now, unfortunately, in places at home or in if you're thinking, making something like this for your business, you are subject to whatever your bread source is. And most, restaurants or sandwich places, when you get bread, it's from totally full of spectrum. I've had rolls that came to the table which were very nice, little round soft rolls. But if you're in a place where you want to, you're getting some sort of a Parmesan sort of dish, this kind of idea, you want a crunch in the bread. Now, the crunch in the bread, talking about the crust, is an audio thing. You'll hear it, you'll feel it in your teeth. But the idea is when you bite through that crunch part into the roll, the gumminess is the thing that you want to figure out a way to get away from. So what happens is in a lot of cases, if you're getting sort of your typical local market French bread, which has in some cases has a really fairly decent crust, but a lot of it is filled with extra dough in the center. So what people have done with these heroes is they'll, cut your 12 to 13 inches, and then they'll cut the lengthwise, and then you're going to scoop out some of the inside of the bread. This way, the idea is to bite into that nice crust with a little bit of the bread still stuck to the crust into whatever that protein, that Parmesan or the sausage and pepper, that meatball, or that eggplant parm is part of the texture. And I don't know why, but we've talked about this on Food Mania forever, explosions of taste in the mouth. Certain things trigger other ingredients and your palate and your saliva glands and your nose, and just your sensation of having that thing in your hand has everything to do with the way this is experienced in the best way possible. So we're going to take a little teeny bit of a break. I'm going to play a little bit of a familiar tune, and we'll be back in a few minutes and we'll talk about how to put this together. All right. Don't go anyplace. All right, I'm back. Thank you for still being here. We're definitely, creating something right now that is something that really doesn't take a really long time to prepare. So I would give, to do a good, any version of whatever the contents in our delicious hero sandwich is going to be, I would say probably I can get it to you for 20 to 25 minutes of just prep and actually cooking until you're ready to actually put the sandwich together. Now, in the case of a restaurant situation, obviously you're going to do a certain amount of prepping beforehand so you can turn them out a little quicker. And you can do a little bit of advanced prepping in this section as well. It just depends how you do it. Some people just like to go from scratch. In other words, they'll have their protein, say their chicken breasts, and they'll have their counter set up. They'll be able to literally pound it a little bit and then dip it in the flour, dip it in the egg wash, and then into the breadcrumbs, and then literally right into a ready pan that's, you know, has the oil in it and ready to fry it. So, you know, the process is you're going to get a 5 to 7 ounce chicken breast, depending on how you really want to eat. And in my opinion, go bigger, you know, go bigger. I would say go to a good 7 to 8 ounce chicken breast. Now, you want to take it. There's a lot of different tricks of pounding it. The idea is when you want to flatten it with a little, little hammer, kitchen hammer. I use a smooth side first just to get it, you know, tighter. And then depending on it's really depending on, the membrane and the cartilage that might be in the breast, as long as it's off the bone and clean really well, you should be able to put it in on top of some plastic on your cutting board and then put a pounder sheet on top. You know, this pounder sheets are very thin, really thin, almost see-through plexiglass. I mean, it's just, you know, cardboard thin, but it's able to take the pounding of the hammer, and you can also see what's going on. So basically, whatever your method is. And I get it down to a quarter of an inch. I wouldn't go any thinner than that. And in fact, I would even back up one, two or three swings of the hammer. Okay, and go ahead and just as you get these ready, go ahead and do the flour part. So just flour them all. And once you flour them, you got your breasts together, just go ahead and, you know, make sure you're set up. That means you'll have your sauce already warm and you'll have your frying pan set up at temperature. And so we can do this all in boom, 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 boom. Now, on the other side of the counter, you're going to get your plate, and you're going to take that beautiful hunk of bread that we talked about. And what I like to do is, like, you have your oven going at about 350 right now, just for fun. Take that hero sandwich, and we're going to do this just perfect. We're going to cut that 13 to 14 inches, not do the long way yet, okay? So in other words, you're going to just cut the whole loaf in half and not slice it down the center while we're warming it. And just wrap it up in a piece of tinfoil real quick, and just go ahead and put it into your 3 to 350 oven, in front of the oven. Just let it sit in that paper while we're doing our cutlets, all right? So everything's ready. Get your plate set on the counter so we can do boom, 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 and fairly quickly we can eat. We have our sauce. We have our chicken breast. Now we have our two different kinds of cheese. We have some slices of whole milk mozzarella, and then we have some Parmesan. And that's going to be our two cheeses that are going to go on it. And then I like to just do a little chiffonade, a bigger, fatter chiffonade basil, not the real thin stuff, but something that looks nice. But, you know, just a little almost like you're doing a coleslaw cut on it. And then I have that all standing by. And here we go. We got the oil going. And before we put it, even the chicken into the pan, we're going to take a little pat of butter, and we're going to stick that in the oil. And we're going to let it just melt in together. That's going to make the chicken a little golden brown and give it a little bit of a buttery crisp. All right, and that's it. So you've got it in the flour. Go ahead and dip it in the egg. And go ahead and dip it in your breadcrumbs. Now, what I'm using is a combination of panko and about 4-day-old Italian bread, just ground up together. It's just perfect. I like the panko. It's crunchy. But I'm using the ground up older Italian bread. It's really thin. So it's almost like a flour. And from the egg wash, I went to the flour-based, you know, ground-up Italian bread, then right into the panko. And it's perfect. And then went right into the pan. So it gave you that little extra layer between the outside crunch and the inside of the chicken. Mm-mm-mm. All right. It's going. We're going to do a couple at a time, because I'm going to make one for me and I'm going to make one for you out there. You can have a bite just like when I do. And you're going to go ahead and fry it at that same temperature, medium temperature. And I like to not play with it very much. I just like to let it do one side, okay? Basically, mainly because the batter is still a little tricky at this point in time, and you're definitely you want to make sure it just sticks to it nicely so everything is coated. So basically, you get it to a certain color, and you'll see it's a golden brown, just beautiful. And then you're going to get ahead and get your little spatula and very carefully flip it over. And really watch yourself. You don't hit the grease too hard because it splats and you'll have some unwanted freckles. So be conscious of that when you're doing it. All right. And then same thing on the other side. Let it toast. Let it get that toasty color. Now, if that your liquid, the oil and the butter mixture should be sort of bubbling around, not over it. It should just be pretty much, if it's surrounding the cutlet in the pan, it should be just about to the top of it. So you're kind of getting, almost like when you're trying to, just take a steak and sear it or something, and you're just rolling it around on the top and the bottom, and then you're turning it on its side and just giving it this. When your oil gets a little bubbly around that, it really just does something. It seals the edge of it, makes a nice crisp. All right, so your sauce is warming up right now, too, so that's beautiful. Now, I got a little bit of parchment paper on a plate. I'm just going to take the breasts out of the pan and stick them now right on the parchment paper just for a couple of minutes. Then I'm going to get my sauce at a different – I can take the frying pan out of the way now. And then I'm going to move over the pan of the sauce. I'm going to pull it a little closer. I'm going to reduce the heat a little bit. In fact, I'll probably turn it just about off so the bubbling simmering is – quite unnoticeable, and carefully I'm going to drop my beautiful cutlets in the pan. And I'm going to take one thing that I'll do right before, I think I will take that other hot pan that I have, and with the cutlets before I make the entrance to the sauce, let me turn it on for 1 second, and I'm going to glaze it with a little bit of lemon juice and a little teeny-weeny bit of vegetable broth and white wine, like a couple of tablespoons of each. So it's searing around the whole thing. Ah, perfect. Just shake them a little bit and then right into the sauce. That's that final little thing. All right, at this point, we're going to spoon a little bit of the sauce over the rest of the cutlets, reduce the heat. Go ahead and lay your fresh mozzarella on top of everything, and then just grind your Parmesan over everything. And I take about half of the basil and sprinkle it over the top, and then go ahead and, take that pan and stick it back in the 350 oven for about maybe 3 or 4 minutes. Because remember, it's still boiling in the pan, too, or simmering in the pan. And while you're at it, then you remove your hero bread. Keep it in the tinfoil. Keep it right on the counter, ready to serve it. But just keep it in the tinfoil so we'll time it out perfectly. All right, and then basically a couple of more minutes, and we will be able to put the sandwich together. Let me tell you, if you guys want the recipe and the description and the items and directions, it's easy. Just write us at Chef Stuardo, C-H-E, S as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O, at hotmail.com. And I will absolutely send you a link, or actually just a file to have that recipe and even a picture of what we're talking about. Now, because Parmesan and hero sandwiches are, we could spend literally hours on each sandwich, or at least an hour in each sandwich. And mainly today I wanted to give you guys just a little taste of what the sandwich is going to be like and how easy it is to make it. And the fun of it as well, what do you have? People say, what do you have with it? You have something with it. Well, I used to always have with it. I used to have a slice of pizza next to it. It was almost like my potato chip or something, or a pickle with a good deli sandwich, I don't know. I had the sphero, and then I kind of put it down for a minute. Then I take a bite of that thin, crusty, just cheese, plain cheese pizza, And that was such an incredible little treat, and I loved that so much. You don't really need much because this is just a really good sandwich. It's just everything you want in it. But if you want a texture, a little slice of pizza, or if you have a little cooked spaghetti, that you have a little cold, just steam it up for a second and throw a little sauce over and have that as a side dish. It depends where you're from. It was nothing to think about in Brooklyn. When you're in a place and ordering a hero, you're ordering a chicken parm hero and give me a side of, spaghetti marinara, and that's what you get. You get a plate of spaghetti with the sauce, the gravy, and then that beautiful sandwich, and usually a fountain drink, fountain Coke or something like that, and man, you are set. And I hope you guys and girls and children of all ages out there will be set in the same way, because it's something that's really great. All right, let me tell you how to put it together. I pull it out of the oven. It's just perfect. The cheese is melty. It's just drippy. We're going to take our, what we'll do is we'll take our, let's see, okay, we'll take our bread, and now we'll cut it in half, and we'll open face it and lay it on this nice plate. Now, I've melted a little bit of garlic and a little bit of butter and a teeny bit of olive oil, and I have my little brush here. I'm going to brush the inside of the bread with this garlicky, very garlicky olive oil and butter. We need that? Yeah, we do. Now, slowly, with a pair of tongs or a spatula, I'm going to lay that chicken cutlet right on the it depends. You can cut it in the pan, but these are thin enough. They're just literally the width of the bread. In some cases, if they're too big, some people will slice it lengthwise. So you'll sort of stagger both pieces of the cutlet on a longer, more of a baguette-type piece of bread. But we got the right width on this hero bread today. All right, so that's laid down right now. And that cheese, oh, my gosh, it's beautiful. I'm going to take just a little bit of sauce, just a teeny bit, and drizzle over the top. I'm going to rip up those fresh basil leaves on top. I'm going to give it a little shake of crushed hot peppers. And my favorite thing to do all the time is chiffonade basil and then take a half a lemon and squeeze a lemon over the whole thing. Why? We'll talk about that next time. Why I think, and I have a big vote for fresh lemon over tomato-based pasta dishes. We'll talk about that next time. All right, that's it. I'm really happy you guys tuned in. Tomorrow is another day. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock, we will continue the saga. Just check Facebook, or if you missed this show or you wanted somebody else to hear it, just send them the link. It's real easy. It's right on the page that you're listening or looking at right now. Thank you very, very much for listening, everybody. I appreciate it. Be safe out there. Wear a mask. Don't go out, you know, if you don't have to, and if you do, just limit your groups to small amounts of people, just for now, until we just get through the next couple of days. So be safe, everybody. Just have a great night. Enjoy this sandwich. I can't wait to hear it. And you know how to write me, chefstuarto@hotmail.com. CHEF is in Frank, S is in Sam, TUARTO. @hotmail.com, and tell me what you think, or make some comments on Foodomania, and let us know what you think. And if you get to the Foodomania Facebook page, just make sure you give us a like so you can get some notifications of all the shows. And also follow this on Blog Talk Radio. And if you follow it, you'll get automatic reminders of the show and access to the total library of all the things that we got going there. All right, we're going out with a little bit of, just this great track. This is Nino Rota, who wrote this beautiful soundtrack of this wonderful background music for Eating Your Hero Sandwich. Here we go. Thank you.